You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Most of us have seen those images of sea turtles choking on plastic bags, massive garbage patches swirling and floating with the currents, but that's in the world's oceans. What happens when plastics make their way into the Great Lakes? Christy Tyler is exploring that very question. She's an ecologist and a biogeochemist who is studying the effects of sunken plastics on lake bottoms. Christy Tyler is an associate professor of environmental science at the Rochester Institute of Technology, and she is here with us now. Christy, welcome.
Thank you.
So the ocean gets lots of attention when it comes to plastic contamination, but your work shows us that lakes are just as susceptible to this form of pollution. How has previous research on plastics in the ocean contributed to your work on the Great Lakes?
Well, I think that you're right that the oceans have received kind of the lion's share of attention, but our freshwater lakes and rivers and streams receive an equal amount of plastic. We just haven't really paid as much attention to it until recent years. And I think using some of the same types of models that we use to estimate how much plastic enters the oceans, some of my colleagues at RIT have been estimating how much plastic enters the Great Lakes and finding out that it's roughly an equivalent amount that enters the lakes as does the oceans.
All right, which caught everybody's attention here. And as you're alluding to, this research is interdisciplinary, and I know it's the result of collaboration with mathematician Matthew Hoffman, who is your co-author in a piece in The Conversation. What do his models tell us about the distribution within the Great Lakes? I mean, I'm wondering how much plastic do you figure gets into the Great Lakes each year?
Well, his models have estimated that it's more than 10,000 tons of plastic enter the Great Lakes each year. And he's been doing a progressive series of models, starting out first with two-dimensional models that show kind of in a horizontal plane where we think the plastic may end up in the lakes. And based on those models, he showed that we don't have the kind of big garbage patch that we have out in the middle of the Atlantic or the Pacific Oceans, but rather it's much more spread out and ultimately may, because of the way the winds and the currents go, end up closer to shore, so closer to where the people live. And then he has started on a newer series of models that are more three-dimensional, so showing where else the plastic may end up in that vertical, so going from the top to the bottom of the lake, and showing that a lot of it actually does end up on the bottom, which is where my work comes in, because I've been very interested in what different kinds of toxins and pollutants do to the community of organisms that lives on the bottoms of the lakes.
In fact, let's ask you to give us a 101 of lake bottoms, the ecosystem of a lake bottom 101. What's going on down there that can affect the whole health of the lake, Christy?
So the lake bottom is kind of the unseen driver of everything that happens in the lake. And where it's shallow enough, you'd have plants growing. But then you also have lots of different kinds of invertebrates, things like clams or mussels, worms, and different kinds of crustaceans can live on the bottom. And then you also have a really large community of microbes, so very small organisms, and they're really the ultimate drivers of what's happening on the bottom. The part of the bottom ecology that I'm very interested in is the cycling of different kinds of nutrients and organic matter, and it's really those microbes that drive those processes and would deliver the types of services that we rely on our lakes for, so things like filtering out contaminants, like nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, and other contaminants get broken down on the bottom. So does all of the organic matter that's produced by the plants, either on the bottom or up in the water column. So they really deliver the types of services that we rely on for our lakes for providing us with clean water, particularly clean drinking water.
And then when we're looking at plastics making their way to the bottom of the lake, I mean, we certainly, when we see it along the shoreline affecting us, affecting species, that's very visible. This is what we do not see. Tell us how those plastics threaten that ecosystem at the bottom.
We know that there is a significant amount of plastic that ends up on the bottom. It's often in very, very tiny particles. Those are these microplastics, and there may also be a significant amount that's even smaller than that in the range of what we would consider nanoplastics. So those are little pieces that might be less than 100 nanometers, so very, very tiny. there are a large number of ways that we can hypothesize that it may be affecting the bottom communities. One is just the physical effect of the plastic. So organisms may consume it inadvertently, and it can block their gut or get incorporated into their tissues. We don't know the rate at which that's incorporated into tissues. Sometimes the plastics can be coated with different kinds of microbes that would grow on the surface. They can get coated as they're floating around, and that actually would facilitate the sinking. Those communities of microbes might be different. The plastics themselves break down. Plastics break down into BPA and phthalates as they break down. And those are, of course, we've heard a lot about BPA in plastics.
Not good for people.
Not good for people. Not good for microbes either,
yes.
Or other organisms. And plastics can also have other types of contaminants, things like PCBs that can attach to the surface of the plastic. So there's a lot.
And so much work to be done to figure out precisely how it affects that ecosystem. I'm wondering, when you tell us that we could figure there's some 10,000 tons of plastic getting into the Great Lakes every year, how does it get there? Where does it come from?
Probably the most visible pathway is just from plastic that ends up on the ground, either by people being careless and littering, or it blows out of your recycling bin, blows off your boat if you happen to be in the water, or blows out of a trash can. We also have a lot that comes from wastewater treatment plants, just gets right through all of the filters that we have in wastewater treatment plants, so very tiny fibers. We also have a lot of tiny fibers that can just come off of our clothes every day, all of our fleece and other types of non-organic compounds that we wear. They shed little tiny fibers, and they can end up in the air and then blow into the water. There have been some newer research in Europe that's been looking at the effects of food waste, where bits of plastic end up in the materials that we're sending out for compost. That can then get spread on a field and used as a fertilizer, but then wash off into the waterways. So there are a really large number of potential routes that the plastic can take to enter into the waterways. And it can enter as everything from a big plastic bottle or a jug down to these little tiny microscopic fibers.
Wow, that's quite an array of possibilities. And I know, as you point out in your piece for The Conversation, preventing plastic from entering waterways is really priority number one. So as we talk about, what are some important things that we can and should be doing?
Probably the most challenging thing is to use less. But of the plastic that we absolutely need to use, then making sure it's disposed of properly is important. So making sure things don't blow out of the recycling bin, make sure you put things into a trash can, that it ends up in the proper recycling route. One small message that we've been promoting locally is to make sure that when you dispose of your plastic bottles, that you put the cap on it, because those little caps are very small and they get out and they can escape and get into the stormwater and end up floating away. Whereas the plastic bottle itself may end up in the recycling, the cap may not. So if you put the cap back on, it won't end up out in our waterways.
Christy Tyler is an ecologist and a biogeochemist. Her work studies the effects of sunken plastics on lake bottoms. She's an associate professor of environmental science at the Rochester Institute of Technology, and you will find her article at theconversation.com. Christy, thanks so much for talking with us and sharing your work with us.
Thanks for having me.